I've decided a long time ago to make Jesus my choice. You know, we sing in another song, I decided to follow Jesus. And it says, though no one joins me, still I follow. Amen. You know, sometimes the road gets difficult. You know, we're not of the world, but we are in the world. And sometimes we encounter difficult challenges with those that are of the flesh and not of the spirit. Today, my sermon title is The Spirit Versus the Flesh. And I want to call your attention to the book of Galatians, the 5th chapter, the 16th verse. And I am actually going to read the 5th chapter in its entirety, but for the sake of time, our text is coming from the 16th verse. And the text reads, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh." That's the 17th verse. "And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." Amen. And so, I don't know about you, but before I gave my life to Christ, before I became a born-again believer, there wasn't a struggle. There was not a struggle, because I just did whatever I wanted to do. And we always, you know, we had our own set of standards and our own set of rules. And, you know, and if you didn't get in no trouble, you know, that old saying, I didn't hurt nobody but myself, you know. So we did whatever we could get away with, you know. And so before becoming a believer, there wasn't even a struggle. And then another thing that one of the deacons at Lakeview Terrace would always say, his name was Deacon Cook. He would say, the devil ain't after you because he already got you. So there was no struggle. There was no struggle because, you know, I was already immersed in the things of the world. You know, the believer has three natural enemies. One is the devil. And the other one is the world. And the other one is the flesh. Those are our natural enemies that we have to contend with. And so, as I was saying before, prior to becoming a believer and becoming baptized and being saved, there wasn't really a struggle. And I'm not saying that I didn't have a moral compass or there wasn't a right or wrong, but there wasn't a struggle because anything that we believed what we was doing was right anyway, so there really wasn't a struggle. First of all, I just want to begin with the saying that, you know, man is spirit, and we are housed in the flesh. And so being spirit, we are not born again when we are born. We are born dead to the things of God. Our spirit is dead to spiritual laws and spiritual convictions, because we are of the world, but we are still spirit. I just want to read the rest of the 5th chapter because it's going to play into the rest of this sermon, but if you just bear with me, I believe we have enough time to look at the whole chapter. It's not that long. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the past, that which so do things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such things there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections of the lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. The flesh is used to describe the default sinful nature of man. The Spirit, for the believer, the indwelling of God's Spirit within man's spirit, which happens when you are born again. And so when we are born again, God's Spirit is placed within us along with our spirit. And that's when I believe that the struggle begins. There's one verse that says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And so when we tend to do things that are not of God, we grieve the Holy Spirit. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. Galatians 15:17 says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, that ye cannot do the things that ye would. As believers, we're always being led by one or the other. Man is flesh-oriented by default. Carrying out the works of the flesh comes natural. To us, before we were reborn, no one has to teach a child how to tell a lie. The man that is not reborn is completely led by the senses. He's carnal. This doesn't mean that he can't do good things. The point is that they struggle to be led by the Spirit of God and to follow the Word of God. For to be carnally minded is death. Romans 8:6-8. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is at enmity against God. For it is not subjected to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So what I was saying before, before I was born again, I was carnally minded, and I was not subjected to the law of God. And the scripture says, and neither indeed can be. So we are blinded to the law of God, the carnally minded. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now the mind of the flesh is death, both now and forever, because it pursues sin. But the mind of the Spirit is life, peace, the spiritual well-being that comes from walking with God, both now and forever. The mind of the flesh, with its sinful pursuits, is actively hostile to God. And I just want to say that this, even though this is the verses from the text that I read, I'm reading, I also use the Amplified Bible. So this actual verse is coming from the Amplified Bible because it has a more clearer description of what is being communicated. a more plainer use of the text. It says that the flesh, it does not submit itself to God's law, since it cannot. And 8 says, and those living in the flesh, living a life that caters to sinful appetites and impulses, cannot please God. The person that is influenced by the flesh cannot grow in the spirit. You know, I have had encounters with people that are non-believers, carnal-minded, confrontations. And, you know, one of the things is, as I have grown as a Christian, especially as a minister, as I have grown, one of the things I have found out is that I no longer desire the deeds of the flesh or the things of the flesh. And to me, getting into a physical fight with somebody is to lose twice. It's to lose, you know, because what happens is you're being drugged down to somebody else's level. You know, I enjoy coming to church. I've said this before. I love coming to church. I enjoy peaceful. I enjoy peace and quiet. Maybe I'm just old, but I enjoy peaceful. I don't enjoy arguing and all that stuff. I just you know, I enjoy what church has to offer. And what I left behind, I no longer want. And so for me, what I'm saying is to win, it has a different definition. And to win is not to allow somebody to drag me back down into the pig pen that I left behind. I know what that is. I don't have to go back and try to find out what that is. But you know, the thing is, they don't know what this is. They don't know what we have, you know. And they're subject only to the flesh because that's all they know. And the thing that I've found is the more that I feed the spirit, the stronger the spirit gets. And the more I feed the flesh, the stronger the flesh gets. The point is feeding one stunts the growth of the other. Either you grow in the spirit or you grow in the flesh. It all depends on which one you feed the most, the flesh or the spirit. When we feed the flesh, the spirit suffers. When we are led by the spirit of God merges with the spirit of the man. Romans 8:14 Amplified says this, for all who are growing themselves to be led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. And when we begin to grow in the Spirit, there is a dying away and a wilting away of the flesh and its desires. The flesh are still present, but it is no longer controls you. The world will not applaud the fruits of the Spirit. God does. Do you want to please man? Or do you want to please God? Whose applaud do you chase after? Paul said in Romans 7:24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of flesh? When I first read this and we were studying this in class, there's several thoughts in the theological circle about this statement that Paul made. Some think that he was an immature Christian when he wrote this, and others say that he was a seasoned Christian. And I tend to lean toward a seasoned Christian because the longer I have walked this walk, when I was a young Christian, there's a lot of things that I still didn't call sin in my life. There's a lot of things that happened, I said or did, that I didn't really think of as sin. But now as I mature, there are things that I believe are sin that I never thought was sin before. And so when he says, that which I think to do, I do not, and that which I think not to do, I do, I see that more as a statement from a mature Christian. You know, I just want to, let's see if I can say this the right way. When we wake up on Sunday morning and it's time to go to church, you know, why is it such a struggle to get up and to be on time for church on Sunday morning? You know, for other things, for other reasons, if we're going fishing, I heard friends tell me they go fishing 4 o'clock in the morning. You want to go to church? Oh, no, man. I can't go to church on Sunday. That's my day to sleep. You know, the flesh is more than just sexual immorality. The flesh is, Paul said, above all things, the flesh is wretched, because we constantly have to, the flesh is constantly demanding of us. Verse 19 says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: idolatry, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, reveling. They shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, back to what I was saying about having confrontations or issues with those that are in the flesh and those that are non-believer. It says, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And the key being, when we are dealing with people, will we give up the kingdom of God to be right in an argument, or to win a senseless fight with somebody? Or, you know, even though we might not choose to allow someone, we don't have to be a doormat, but we don't want to give up eternity to prove a point, is what I'm trying to say. It's a win when we could walk away from a situation to have our integrity intact. Right. When we walk away from a situation and we're still believers. I had a time in since I've been a minister here at St. John where I was working, and I was gone for almost a year where I very rarely made church. And I would try to go to church in Bakersfield, San Diego, wherever I was. I would try to get an opportunity to go to church or a Bible study on Wednesday night or whatever I could do to stay attached to the word. And one of the things that I said when I left, when I took this job on, is I came here a preacher, and I'm going to leave here a preacher. I'm not going to embrace the things of the world. And there was times that I could be working right now on Sunday if I wanted to be. You know, I had to make a choice to change. I'm still a driver, but I'm not doing the type of driving that I was at that time. But I had to make a conscious choice as far as my walk with God goes as to what I was going to do concerning that job. And the flesh would have said, you know, it's good money. You know, you're going to lose your position in life, you're going to lose money. But you know what the Spirit said? It's not of any use to me if I'm going to lose my soul. You know, right. And I'm not going to say it got to be that far, that went that far, but it could have had I not taken my belief in my desires seriously. The Spirit. If not for the Spirit ruling over the flesh, I would have went with the flesh, which would have been working all the time. But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance. Against all such there is no law. When we allow the fruits of the Spirit to grow, the desires of the flesh diminish in our lives. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote this after talking about the works of the flesh. He gave us the fruits of the Spirit. Having therefore the promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from the filthiness of the flesh and the Spirit perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We have to cleanse ourselves with the Word of God. The Word of God cleanses us. Cleanse yourself from the filthiness of the flesh and the filthiness of the Spirit. Bathe yourself in gospel music, the Word of God. We talked a lot about the filthiness of the flesh, but not so much about the filthiness of the Spirit, which is just as dangerous, or maybe it's even more dangerous. Because the filthiness of the Spirit is not seen. The flesh are more likely to fail with the filthiness of the Spirit. They are more likely to be proud, arrogant, and deceitful, envy, and vengeful. People who wrestle with the filthiness of the flesh are more likely to be kind, forgiving, merciful, and can't understand why your friends can't forgive you. Because to take Christ off the throne is put yourself on the throne. And so some people are good at cleaning the filthiness of the flesh. But what usually happens is they become spiritually proud, arrogant, deceitful, envy, and vengeful. And then there's other that's good with the filthiness of the flesh, and they're more likely to be kind, forgiving, and merciful. And so stop trying to please people. We have created idols that you can't even see, idols of public opinion. You know, we have this thing called social media. And it matters so much what they think about you on social media. Wherever you see fruit, there's a relationship. You never see a banana tree in the desert because it cannot by itself, because it cannot produce by itself. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he hath raised up Christ from the dead, shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Everything my flesh wants, it wants more of. Everything that our flesh wants, it wants more of. The flesh is never satisfied. And so if you try to fill up the desires of the flesh, you will always be chasing after and pursuing. For if Romans 8 and 13 says, for if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. No, it don't mean that you don't have a body, but you are not led by the body. Not that you don't have temptations, but you're not led by temptation. The things that you had before, you still have, but you are no longer controlled by them. It's one thing to have the Spirit of God. It's another thing to be led by the Spirit. We have been adopted into the family of God. God chose you. Stop saying nobody care about me. God chose you. We are not of the world, but we are in the world, and the world don't care about the things of God. We encounter angry, bitter people. How do we overcome the world? By the fruit of the Spirit, changing our nature. We have read the list of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit being love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such thing, there is no law. You know, I was saying before that when I have had encounters with people, I'm amazed at the self-control that I have today because of God. Right. Another thing I can tell you is that I drive all the time. I drive professionally, and so I'm always on the road. And being always on the road, I'm always getting cut off. I'm always encountering bad drivers. In fact, driving has gotten worse since the pandemic. I've never seen so many cars turned over on its rooftop as I do today. And just on the street, normal driving. And you know, one of the things that I've learned is that I would have a heart attack if I argued with everybody that cut me off. If I get mad with everybody that don't drive the way they should drive. Fortunately, you know, one of our training, our constant training is about accident avoidance. And they don't talk so much about being right. They just talk about being aware of, looking out for the other person, and avoiding accidents rather than just the letter of the law. And you know, it really helps. It helps a lot. But again, as I say, if I want to argue with everybody out there, that if I want to give driving lessons to everybody out there, I would be a wreck by the time my day was over with. When God starts ruling in the life of a human being, this is what happens to develop love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, forgiveness, gentleness, and self-control. The Spirit of God having a much deeper relationship with the spirit of man, with the fruits of the Spirit, we can defeat the acts of the flesh rather than always praying about the acts of the flesh instead of thinking about what's wrong with you. Think about what's right with you. You need to get busy with the things of God. The deeper your relationship with God, the less room you have for the flesh. You know, everybody wants the gift of speaking in tongues, prophecies, healing. But Paul said that love is the greatest gift. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, Now abide faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. The word charity, it means love. Love will help us to overcome all sins. Love covers a multitude of sin. You know, in Mark 2:11, Jesus healed the man that was carried in on his mat. And when he healed him, the difference was that when the man left, he was carrying the mat. When he came to Jesus, he was carried in on the mat, and when he left carrying the mat. Some of us allow things in our lives to decide who we are and what we can do. And what we have to do is we have to learn to give them to God and not allow them to control our lives or where we can go and what we can do and what we're able to accomplish in life. I know that I have, since becoming a Christian, since I started being involved with church, a lot of things have changed from my life. I've dealt with alcohol, drug addiction, smoking, nicotine, tobacco addiction, other things that I have overcome. And I go places that I never went before, because these things had control over my life. And so now that I'm no longer in the grasp of these things, I can go where I want to go. You know, I stayed a mechanic for a lot of years because the things I mentioned before, I could get away with those things as a mechanic. Even though I didn't want to be a mechanic, I was still a mechanic for a lot of years. But now that I'm saved and I have Christ in my life, I have jobs like the job I have now where it's a good idea that you don't curse. It's a good idea that you don't drink or smoke. It's a good idea that you're a positive influence around children. And I can say that for a fact, that I know that I don't have to worry about those negative things that were in my life at one time. You know, I could not have done the job that I'm doing now 20 years ago. You know, they say, they ask you, are you willing to submit to random drug testing? And I can say yes. I have no problem saying yes, you know, because I have the freedom. It says that he who the Lord set free is free indeed. And so I have the freedom to come and go as I please, you know. It's only because of God. It's only because God delivered me. And I bring up these things not because I want to talk about these things, but I just remember being a slave to them. You know, there's no better way to put it. I was a slave to those things. And today I'm free. You know, I can stand here and say that I'm free. Free to be here in church, you know. You know. I never want to be a jackleg preacher. You know. You know what? You can follow me if you want to. You're not going to catch me drinking or doing any of those things that I was a slave to in those days, you know. And I praise God for it because I thought it would never happen. You know, for a long time, my uncle used to say, you know, he ain't gonna let you alone until you answer. And I would always say, well, I got to quit this and I got to quit that. And he would say, you better come on because you can't do it on your own. You got to let him clean you up, you know. Right. And I didn't plan to say this today, but I just wanted to say it just because of how the power of God is so powerful. God is so good. Right. Things that you think you can't do, when you give it to God, you'll find yourself doing it. You know, and I'm really just reflecting back now on where I was back then. But I just want to say this, you know, with all the things we go through with people that's in the flesh, you know, one of the things that I can stand here and say that is Hebrews, the 12th chapter, that says that ye has not yet to suffering to the shedding of blood, meaning that none of us had to go to the cross to be forgiven for our sin. And we don't because there was one that came before us that was innocent. And he was innocent. I know he was innocent because they took him before Caiaphas, the high priest, and they took him before Herod, and they tried him. And they couldn't find nothing, no charges that would stick, and so they sent him to Pilate. And I don't know if you know this, but crucifixion was a cruel punishment. They could not You could not crucify a Roman citizen. But Jesus, being a Jew, they sent him to Pilate to be crucified. And Pilate's wife warned him of a dream that she had about him being guilty of the blood of an innocent man. Pilate says, somebody bring me some water so I can wash my hands. He trying to scourge Jesus. He trying to release Jesus on the day of release. And he acts, he went to the prison and got the worst criminal he could find. And he said, who would you like, either Barabbas or would you like Jesus? And they cried Barabbas. They cried for Barabbas. And so he said, well, what should I do with this man, Jesus? And they said, crucify him. And so Pilate said, bring me some water so I can wash my hands. And he said to them, his blood is on you. And they said, let his blood be on us and our children. And they scourged Jesus, hoping that it might change his mind. And they took him down the Via Dolorosa road, where he carried his cross to Calvary. And on that hill, they nailed him in his hands, they pierced him in his side, and they stood him between two thieves. And he hung there and he died. He died the death of a common thief. He died a death that was meant to disgrace him. It was to take away every dignity and everything that can possibly imagine. That's the death that he died. And I believe that is because there's no one that Jesus can't reach, that the blood of Jesus can't reach. And when it was time for the day of preparation, they were ready to break his legs. But the scripture said that no bones on his body shall be broken. And so when they went, he had yielded up the ghost. They pierced him in his side, and the blood came streaming down, meaning that he had already been dead. And so they took him down, buried him in a borrowed tomb, and he stayed there for 3 days. But you know what? On the third day, he rose again. Yes, he did. My Bible tells me that he rose again. And it's a song that says, I know he rose because he rose in my heart. You know, he rose with power to heal the sick, to give sight to the blind. He rose with the power to save our sin-sick soul. Amen.